The family of every president leaves the imprint of his life on the White House. Today, for the first time in more than half a century, the daughter of a president was married in the East Room. The wedding marked a footnote, a grace note, as it were, to the history of the White House and to the years when President Lyndon Baines Johnson and his family lived there.
Candlelight and Crossed Swords. A special report on today's White House wedding by NBC News correspondent Ray Shearer. This program is brought to you by Yardley, the people who think a woman should always look as lovely as she does on this day.
Have you ever been in an English garden in the rain? You can almost see the perfume come out of the flowers, and you can't take a breath that isn't filled with lavender or roses or violets. Yardley grew up there, and they put all their memories of English gardens into Yardley flower soaps. So every time you use them, it would be a little like being in an English garden in the rain.
When I was little, everyone used to say, Jeannie Shrimpton's got the shiniest hair in the whole countryside. But you grow up and you begin to lose that wonderful shine. So Yardley created Londonderry Hair Shampoo. It does something perfectly smashing. It puts the shine back in your hair. Londonderry Hair Shampoo. It makes your hair shine like when you were little.
In the 167-year history of the Executive Mansion, there have been seven White House weddings of President's daughters. Lyndon Baines Johnson's marriage today took place in the East Room. Her sister Lucy became a bride in the Catholic Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Nancy Dickerson has taken a revealing second look at certain events of that day.
Until Lucy's wedding, Lyndon Baines shared the White House limelight with her younger sister. August 6th, last year, was Lucy's day. Linda was her maid of honor, but the focus of attention was on the young Nugent newlyweds, on the president and Mrs. Johnson. As the wedding party lined up on the south portico for its portrait, a young Marine officer, a White House social aide, suddenly appeared on the scene. He was Captain Charles Robb, the man Linda married today. The young captain had met Linda, but only briefly, and they had not yet gone out together. But that day, for the very first time, they did share in the recorded film history of the White House. And for Linda Bird, it was to become a memorable day. Tradition has it that the girl who catches the bride's bouquet is next to marry. Lucy, taking aim, and her bridesmaids waiting below, all but conspired to make Linda the target. In any case, after some butterfingers on the catch, Linda did manage to come up with the flowers. And in a year's time, Linda had made a fine catch indeed. Her fiancé, the very same Captain Charles Robb. The official announcement of their engagement came at the White House September 11th. They had kept their secret rather well, not even telling their closest friends. Linda first began dating the captain in June, and he was soon her constant escort. They were seen everywhere together, and in 3 months' time, Captain Charles Robb had proposed to the president's daughter, and she said yes. Then the question everyone asked was, who is Captain Robb? He's a 28-year-old Marine officer, a White House social aide whose duties included leading the color guard at receptions for visiting heads of state. This frequently brought him under the watchful, but obviously pleased eye, of the man who was to become his father-in-law. Captain Robb has been in the Corps 6 years. He's had sea duty and been a company commander. At Washington's Marine Barracks, he serves as adjutant. 2 years ago, Robb was promoted to captain. He's the administrative officer of the command. He also takes part in the Marine Corps evening parade. Marines are spit and polish, but the Corps' tradition is to fight. And in that tradition, the captain will leave for Vietnam in a few months. But ever since June, he's had to live two lives, completing his tour of duty in Washington before joining his brother officers in the war, and seeing Linda in the fishbowl life at the White House. Recently in the green room, I spoke with the young couple.
Captain Robb, is the White House a good place to court in? I'd say it's rather surprising for those that would feel it might be very difficult. I found it unusually easy by virtue of the fact that you have really a whole lot more privacy here than we have anyplace else.
Particularly without the Secret Service, isn't that true?
Well, of course, this is a consideration, but I think just in all fairness to the Secret Service, they're an organization that certainly helps and in no way inhibits or makes it difficult for you in courting or anything else.
Linda, we've heard a good deal about how you told your mother and father about your engagement. Were they surprised?
Yes, I think they were surprised.
Neither of them had an inkling of?
No, I think Mother had an inkling. She's told me later that she was trying to tell my father that she thought there was something brewing, but she never really did get around to telling him, I don't think.
So he was totally surprised?
I think he was pretty surprised, although, of course, he knew that Chuck and I had been seeing each other quite a lot. He's very aware of those things.
Captain Rob, when did you talk with the president?
I don't honestly remember at this point some of the details involved in it. I remember it was quite a decision on our part, and then, of course, it's quite an awesome thing to consider the possible ramifications of asking the president for his daughter's hand in marriage. But I don't remember most of the specific detail.
Captain Rob, there's one school of thought that says that you should not be sent to Vietnam, not because you deserve any special privilege, but because if something happened to you, if you were captured, it would be too great a military coup for the enemy. What do you think about that?
Well, in the first instance, I've been looking forward to going for a long period of time. This is no secret, and it hasn't been. And I don't really feel that I'm going to be in any special danger and in any unusual circumstances as long as I don't go parading around the streets of Saigon, say something as absurd as this. But in other words, if I pursue my military career and carry out the assignments which I may have while I'm over there, I don't honestly feel that I'm going to present any particular problem to the government or to anyone else in this regard, and I hope to go over and professionally accomplish the mission that I've been looking forward to for some period of time.
Linda, as a student of history, how would you hope that history would treat your wedding?
Well, I don't know. I did hope it would just be the annals of a young girl and handsome groom who were both very much in love and who were married in this house.
If the courtship of Linda Berg Johnson and Charles Robb was swift, their engagement period seemed to fly by. Linda's days were filled with showers given by her friends. Her nights with Captain Robb were special, and they glittered. Formal dances and parties for the young sweethearts given by the Capitol's VIPs. Linda's close friends noticed a special glow as Washington's official society welcomed them to its inner circles. And it was fun, like a storybook romance. Ambassador Averill Harriman gave this week's posh affair. It was at that party that the city's diplomatic corps presented a splendid gift. Friends said Linda and the captain, she calls him Chuck, were just right for each other. A king's daughter would rate more pomp official ceremonies to show off her fiancé, but Linda and Chuck met the crowds and the celebrities at events like a university groundbreaking. Charles Robb had a chance to mingle with movie stars and TV personalities. He showed poise and moved easily during this glimpse of the life he'll lead after today. Some of their life will be spent in Texas, where Linda's friends gave them a series of parties during the long Thanksgiving weekend. It was the captain's first opportunity to meet the longtime friends, the Texas coterie of the LBJs. There was also a weekend of homecoming at the University of Wisconsin, from which Rob was graduated 6 years ago. On the same weekend, the captain took Linda home to Milwaukee, where they attended Episcopal services with his family. Linda had met Mr. and Mrs. James Robb during their visit to the White House after the engagement, but this was her first visit to his home, and the Robbs were delighted at having Linda become a member of their family.
I'm a London girl. I change my looks to suit my mood with Yardley's super new lip polish, Slicker.
Slicker under
my lipstick to soften the color.
Slicker over
to light up my lips.
Slicker alone
for moist, natural innocence. Under, over, alone. Get Slicker lip polish by Yardley of London.
I'm Jean Shrimpton. If I pose for 5 photographs a day, it can mean 5 different hairstyles. And I could never find a setting gel that would last through them all and still leave my hair shiny. Now there's something new. Londonderry Hair Setting Foam by Yardley. It actually lasts from shampoo to shampoo. Londonderry Hair Setting Foam. It lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts.
The first real stir of activity outside the White House today came at mid-afternoon when Captain Robb, accompanied by his best man, Captain Doug Davidson, arrived at the east entrance. Captain Robb, in civilian clothes, came early to get into the Marine full-dress blue uniform he wore at today's wedding. The bridegroom arrived well over an hour before the wedding guests. The guest list, of course, included some of the most important names in government and politics. That Marine stride. The Speaker of the House, John McCormick of Massachusetts, was there. This is McCormick on his arm.
That's much better.
A sentimental touch was the presence of Mrs. Alice Roosevelt Longworth. As expected, the Hollywood actor George Hamilton came to the wedding. He was alone. Other entertainers included Merle Oberon and Carol Channing.
All right.
Ambassadors, diplomats, business executives. This is UN Ambassador Goldberg. And friends of both bride and bridegroom were among the important guests. A number of important guests, including Defense Secretary McNamara and Secretary of State Rusk, entered the mansion through another entrance. That was Labor Secretary Wirtz, Agriculture Secretary Freeman. Mr. Rusk and Mr. McNamara were not caught in these pictures. Yesterday at the White House, along with other TV correspondents, I talked with President Johnson and Mrs. Johnson. They chatted freely about their daughters.
Oh, she's so intelligent and so companionable and so, she has a questing mind and a great sense of excitement in facing life. She's my best companion for a lot of things that we do together.
Our pages 8 and 9.
Going to plays and going to art galleries.
I think that I've never known many parents had favorites among their own children. I think you see different things in different children. I think Ms. Johnson has expressed it very well. They are quite different. Linda is a very curious person and wants to know all about everything that's been written that she's heard much about, and she pursues it, and she digests it, and she assimilates it, and she retains it. I like to think that Lucy's like my mother, and my mother was one of my favorites, one of my very special favorites. The only one that I ever had to compare with her is the one that Linda's like. That's Linda's mother. I see in Linda her mother every time she writes a check. And I see in Lucy, her grandmother, every time she can't find her checkbook and doesn't know what her balance is.
Mr. President, what do you think of this young man who's about to marry your daughter?
I like him very much. I read his press conference the other day, and I'm going to try to emulate it. And I think that Captain Robb and Pat Nugent are two very unusual boys, and I think we're very fortunate to have them. And as near as I can see, with the many, many temptations that they have had, the embarrassments that have come from their conduct are unknown to me.
I'm sure there'll be moments when I'll walk in Linda's room and stand quietly and look at it. And there'll be those things in the mirror, you know, a snapshot and a sort of a yellowed newspaper story and a napkin with something from a party on it. And I'll have a sudden little wave of loneliness. But no, not essentially. There'll always be activity and excitement here. They'll be coming back lots of times. Speaking of loneliness, the other day I walked through a room where there was a picture, a family picture of us. And I just stopped and looked at it. And there were just the four of us. And I thought, How poor. Now we're seven and well, that doesn't make for loneliness. That just makes for more happiness when you can get together.
The First Lady looked almost as radiant as her daughter as she entered the north lobby of the White House to go to the East Room for the ceremony. She was escorted by a fellow officer of Captain Robb. Mrs. Johnson was wearing a white street-length dress, textured silk. If she was nervous, she didn't show it. All smiles for the guests. After the First Lady came the wedding party in deep red velvet, appropriate for late fall weddings. There were seven bridesmaids in all: Phyllis Bonanno, Marguerite Robb, known as Trenny, sister of the bridegroom, Marie Famer, the president's secretary. Mrs. Gerald Giles, Mrs. Carolyn Curtis. And the matron of honor, of course, Linda's sister, Mrs. Patrick Nugent. Lucy herself was married in Washington a year ago last August. Linda was her chief bridesmaid then. After Lucy came the bride and her father. Dress was traditional pearl-white silk satin designed by New York's Jeffrey Bean. From its narrow shoulder top, the gown's front panel flowed to the floor, outlined in Botticelli silk flowers and seed pearls. The gown had a high collar and long tapered sleeves. The bride wore a coronet matching her gown. Her veil, shoulder length of silk illusion, was worn off her face and fell over the train 12 yards long. Linda carried a bouquet of white stock gardenias and white sweetheart roses. Lindbergh Johnson and Captain Charles Robb, all the events leading up to this day were momentarily swept aside as they stood together in one unforgettable moment. Nancy Dickerson was a guest in the East Room when Charles and Linda became man and wife.
You know, in the words of another White House bride who was married here, presidential daughter, Mrs. Alice Roosevelt Longworth, this was just about, as she put it, the most beautiful wedding ever. The groom said in a very loud voice, "I will." The bride also said, "I will," but a little bit more quietly. And then when the canon asked, "Who gives this bride in marriage?" the President of the United States said, "Her mother and I do." And after the canon had pronounced them man and wife, Linda Bird Johnson turned to her new husband, Captain Robb, and whispered, "I love you." He whispered the same thing and kissed her on the cheek. And that was the way the ceremony went. It had absolute military precision. It only took about 15 and a half minutes from beginning to end. And everyone, of course, was talking about how radiant the bride looked, but they were trying to find different words for to describe Linda Bird because she was so happy and beaming and smiling all over. One thing that had been planned today was to give the whole wedding the atmosphere of a solemn religious ceremony, which it was. If there was a keynote to be called for the wedding ceremony, it was one of solemn joy. And as each of the 500 wedding guests came in, he was given one of these white prayer books. It's made of white moire with a red tuftang. And this wedding book is the prayer service of the wedding. Inside, it told the kinds of music that would be played. And that music had particularly been chosen so that it would give this feeling of solemn joy. As you've heard, the bride's dress was designed by Jeffrey Bean, who also designed the dresses of the bridesmaids. They, of course, were all wearing red, and as far as most observers could tell, only Lucy Johnson Nugent was the only one to have a few tears in her eyes. They had a double ring ceremony. Linda Bird Johnson first received her ring, which was a ring of a circle of diamonds, and then she gave the captain his ring, which was a plain gold band.
Nancy?
Yes, Ray.
With the groom going off to fight a war, was there any kind of special mood there today?
Well, I think there was one, as I mentioned, of solemn joy, but also in the tradition and history of the United States, to have a handsome young captain marry and then go off to war is one of the great romantic themes in all our literature, and I think you had that today. But there was also the shadow of the fact that the Vietnamese War, to which Captain Rob will go in a month or two, is about the most unpopular war in the history of the United States, and I think people felt that some of the wedding guests were talking about it.
What about the honeymoon? Does that secret still hold?
Well, of course, the honeymoon almost has a credibility gap about it because we've read in all the papers that they're going to go to Hawaii. But the captain isn't saying, and certainly the new Mrs. Robb isn't saying, but we heard one very authentic report, as one always hears at this time, that they are not going to Hawaii, but at least 1 week of their honeymoon is to be spent in the Virgin Islands at Keneal Bay, and that they were going to stay at the home of the Lawrence Rockefellers, a home where the Mrs. Johnson, the First Lady, has stayed many times in the past.
Much. Back with more of the wedding in just a moment.
Don't just make up your eyes, wake up your eyes with new Yardley Eyelighter. Over the eyes it brightens and widens, yet under the eyes it hides all shadows. Sneaky Yardley Eyelighter. It wakes up your eyes, and you know what they can wake up. This Christmas, give something young, something Yardley. Like bath sets in fresh-cut flower fragrances. For guys on the go, everything black label. Aftershave, cologne, soap, talc, the works. And this, the super new lip polish, slicker, in a darling tree ornament. Oh, look, Eau de London, Yardley's new scent for flirting. And how about Yardley's legendary English milled soaps? See all these and lots more at drug and department stores. And have a dickens of a Christmas from Yardley.
When the newly married captain and Mrs. Charles Robb emerged from the East Room, it was to the strain of Mendelssohn's Wedding March. Six Marine captains, sword bearers, formed an arch of swords for the wedding recessional. The Arch of Swords is a traditional part of military weddings dating back to Old England and the early days of the American services. The six sword bearers are White House social aides and friends of the groom. They cross through the lobby and back up the grand staircase on their way to the Oval Room. At this moment, the bride and groom are in the blue room receiving the best wishes. This is HUD Secretary Weaver receiving the best wishes of guests filing through the reception line. Secretary Freeman talking to the bride. Secretary of Agriculture. The President talking to Secretary of Transportation Boyd. Cabinet coming through as a group. Mrs. Freeman talking to the bride. Music of Peter Duchin in the background. This is Ambassador Goldberg talking to the bride. This is in the blue room. The room, blue room is more white than blue. 4 years ago, almost to the day, President Lyndon Johnson and his family moved into the White House. Not since Woodrow Wilson's time had there been young ladies, presidential daughters, who became brides while their father lived in the executive mansion. But now the Johnson daughters, Linda and Lucy, have lived in this famous old house, and each has left it as a bride. And today's marriage of Lyndon Johnson to Captain Charles Robb in the White House has added another moment of gaiety and splendor to its illustrious past. Ray Scherer, NBC News, good evening.
This has been a special report on the White House wedding today, produced by NBC News.